Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everybody to our second opportunity for worship today. We have a small drop in our numbers this afternoon. I'm told we do have a few folks who are still coming in, but we'll go ahead and get started. They can catch up with us. I have a few additional announcements, so please bear with me. No changes on the sick list. We do still want to remember Pam Bates over at Northwest. As far as members out of town, Barkers will be out, as I mentioned this morning, for a few days still. The kids are going to a camp up in the Chicago area. Kaysens are, by and large, with the exception of Chelsea, are still in Tennessee. Kelsey, TJ, and their daughters are supposed to be coming back within the hour, most likely. Not sure if we'll see them or not. I think so. Tim took off for California this afternoon for business. Samantha, as far as I know, is still traveling back from seeing her family in Indianapolis. Kevin is working this afternoon, and I do believe the Collins are still out of town. I haven't heard any update there. Like I mentioned this morning, Andrew Nevins is listed for the Wednesday invitation. We will be meeting at Wednesday at 7 p.m. for a Bible study before we meet next Sunday. For our periods of worship, I would encourage you to be with us at any of those times if you have an opportunity to do so. As far as our order of services this afternoon, Dave Dickerson will be wording our opening prayer. Tony will be handling the communion table if there are any who need to partake. Warren will be leading our song service. Chuck will be handling the preaching. James has agreed to word the closing prayer for us at the appropriate time. Chuck is not preaching tonight, because Andrew is preaching tonight. You heard it here first. Andrew, that's not news for you, too, is it? Okay, good. Just a couple of other quick thoughts. Ladies' class, we do want to remind everybody that we'll be at Clark's house tomorrow at 7 p.m. We do want to remember Jerry Sandusky, the preacher over at Madisonville. Andrew let me know that he is already in Ethiopia doing some mission work over there. So we do want to pray for him both for his safety and for success in that endeavor. Chuck did want to make mention as well. Kevin Rickey, a member over at the congregation Westside, passed away. I was told that was due to a heart attack, just at 52 years of age. So we do want to remember the brethren over at Westside and that specific family in our prayers as well. If there is anything else to be announced, we can make mention of it at the end of services this afternoon. If there is nothing else now, let us go to God in thought as I turn things over to Warren.
Page 364. Sing all four verses. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Lead the blind. By the holy is thy name.
tell you right away that I hit the wrong page. That's all. Apologize for that. Let's turn to page 351. I tried to work a little bit of a theme this evening about Jesus. That's where most of the songs are around there. 351. After this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
Troublesome times are here, filling the heart with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now we shall stay. Arm in your heart with God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way good ground is trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will be there too. Trumpets will sound, all of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, bring them all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, over we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus, it's coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will be with their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound.
Our dear and most loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for the privilege that we have coming together the second time this Lord's Day to worship you and to sing songs of praises unto you and to study another portion of your word and to hear the gospel proclaimed. We're thankful, dear Father, for the love that you have for us, that you was willing to send your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, to come upon this earth and go through the wonderful sacrifice that he went through on our behalf to bring us a plan of salvation, dear Father, that enables us to have the hope of everlasting and eternal life. Thankful, dear Father, for all the many wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, the wonderful spiritual blessings that we have, as your family, dear Father, our love for one another, and that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that no greater love has the world ever known than the love that you have for us. And we, in return, dear Father, show our love for you. Each and every day, we want to keep you first in our hearts and love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. To keep on seeking and asking and knocking for all of righteousness, that we can improve our Christian life, dear Father, be more like Jesus. We're thankful, dear Father, for the example that he was for us. He led a perfect life, free from all sin, dear Father, even though he was constantly being tempted at all times. Yet he remained faithful unto thee until the very end. Pray, dear Father, that we too will be a shining example out here in this world of darkness, that our lights will so shine through, that others will see you through us, and we might be able to help be an influence in leading the lost to you while we're still yet time. And we pray for those tools that we have available to do this with you, Father, who will continue to bless us in our efforts, in our TV evangelism and in a radio broadcast and in our Bible correspondence courses, dear Father. Pray for those, dear Father, that are traveling, that are away from us, that they might have a safe destination to where they're going, and they might be able to be with us at the next appointed time, dear Heavenly Father. Now be with us in our service here, and we pray that all that we do and say will go up as a sweet savor to thee. And forgive us, dear Father, for when we have sinned. In Jesus' dear name, amen.
Amen.
Does everyone want to do the second Lord's Supper? For the Lord's Supper, let's turn to page 452. 452. Sing all three verses.
Night with the dominion, brooded o'er the veil. All around was silent, save the night wind's wail. When in Christ the land of sorrows, in tears and sweat and blood,
discussing read from the scriptures this morning. Remember the suffering Christ gave his life, or he gave his life upon a cross, crown of thorns, the humiliation of him being stripped, the robe put on, things that he did for us because of our sinful life that we live. So let's pray and remember the sacrifice. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior, the sacrifice that was made upon a cross on our behalf, we pray that those partaking of some unleavened bread will reflect back upon that day and think of thee and the sacrifice you made on our behalf. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we continue to gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior, we're indeed thankful for the blood that was shed upon that cross of Calvary for our remissions of our sins. We pray as we partake of this fruit of thine, communion of thy Son's blood, that we will reflect back upon that day and realize the importance of the blood being shed on our behalf. Ask that you bless this fruit of vine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It concludes the Lord's Supper this evening. If anyone needs to lay by a store, the collection plate will be here after services.
If you would mark your song book to page 31, page 31, it'll be the song of invitation after Andrew plays the lesson. For the lesson, let's turn to page 137. 137. And all four of us.
Us, Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O Lamb of God and Lamb of Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou hast sold for me joy and crown. There are the meadows, fair still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is makes the woeful heart to sing. There is the sunshine, fair still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry hosts. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels have and boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations,
Chug, then time has certainly passed by this day. But I'm glad I'm able to have the opportunity to be here this evening, this afternoon. I had this lesson prepared for great some time, but as the life events goes on, I have to shuffle a little bit, had to put it back on. But I want to share with you what I've been going through for just a little bit. Within this past year, since I've been married, that life has pretty much seemed like a roller coaster. There's all kinds of different events, different occasions, different schedules, everything just coming all at once, it seems. And having the responsibilities of, okay, I have to do this, I have to do that. Having people come over and saying, you're not doing a good enough job, you gotta do better. And it just seems like there's never an end. And when there seems like there's a moment of peace to be able to relax, that there's something else going on, like maybe the car broke down or having troubles at work to where things are not just going your way necessarily. But does that remind each of us here in this room? Does that remind us that we all face different tasks? We all have different
obligations, different responsibilities. We each have things in which we are tempted on a daily basis. And when it seems like when all the stresses and all the pressures come all at once, that when we give in or simply do something, maybe not a wise decision, people look at it saying, why would you do such a thing? Like, how? Why would you do this? It may not be sin, but it's like, we just want to give up. We just want to throw in the towel, and that we just want to sit back and let other people take over. Sit back and just let things run for itself, and just take a breather for a moment. Each of us in this room have gone through those things. Each of us have either experienced like loss of family or loved ones, having to go over with surgeries, watching other people falling away from God. We have all these things happening to us. But what does the scripture say? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This reminds me of when I was competing in different sports and different games. And we will do a lot of rigorous training, especially with running, trying to build up our endurance. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, at verse 24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. The reason why I like to use this analogy of running this race, training to continue enduring, is because the moment when you feel like you're being tired, the moment when you feel like that you need to relax, like you may have physical spasms, muscle spasms, or that you're having a hard time breathing, there are times when I feel like I'm on the ground just trying to catch my breath. But each person in my life have always said, you got to keep pushing. You got to keep going. There's no other way to move through it unless you keep going. And they also keep saying that if you give up now and you try it again tomorrow, it'll be that much harder. It is better to give it one more shot and give it another round. And the scriptures continue to go on that we need to continue on a spiritual level to continue in our hardships, to continue to endure whatever comes in our way. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and starting within the first verse, Paul writing to Timothy says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And they will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, your ministry. Then he continues on, and to encourage this, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and at that time my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all that have loved his appearing. Paul says at the very beginning, regardless to Timothy, even to us, be ready in season, out of season. You be ready to present God's word, show people the truth, regardless if they listen or regardless if they turn their hearts away from God. We still have a responsibility. And there are times when we feel like that no one is listening to us, that no one cares about what we have to say. They'd rather listen to their own doctrines or to their own opinions and say, this is how we're going to live our lives. Regardless, you continue. You continue preaching that word and you continue in serving God the best you can. Hebrews chapter 10. Again, continue in this very same thought. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizures of your property, knowing that you have yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. It is hard to go through life knowing that because we are Christians and that we have a better and higher standard than the rest of the people of the world, that when all these things happen to us, that we may tend to think, say, well, where's God? Why is he allowing me to do this? Why is he allowing all these things happening to me or to all of us? But we need to remember that God is always there. He's there waiting for us, and he's there able to help us if we ask for it. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, he says that there is no temptation that he will not allow you to be overburdened, and that there's always a way to escape. But also in the process, even with all these things that may be happening to us, we got to remember in James chapter 5, it gives a warning. In James chapter 5, and in verse 8, it says, you too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So we can see through scriptures that if we're living the way that we're supposed to, living a godly life as a Christian, that we're going to be facing hardships. It's pretty evident. And that it's encouraging, since you have to continue. You have to keep going. You cannot stop. Continue so that you may have the endurance to receive the crown of righteousness. So understanding all these things, how can I have the right attitude? How can I have the right attitude to face each and every day to continue on, to continue running that race? The first step, three separate points, very simple, but yet something that we need to carry with us each and every day. The first step that we need to do is that we need to continue in learning and continue in studying. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the first verse, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And we have seen that throughout the scriptures. But let's jump down to verse 10. Now you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things which you have learned, and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you may know the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads you through salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. As life continues on, as it's mentioned in one of these verses, that we gain more experience. We have learned how to prevent certain things to happen, tried to prevent us from sinning, in an essence. We tried to learn how to better present God's word, or whatever the case may be. We, in time past, hopefully, are trying to build upon wisdom. But what Paul is saying here is that you need to continue in these teachings, because if you continue to do so, you may not feel like you're being beaten down, having people trying to convince you, saying that you are not living the way you should be. And they will go to their own creeds, going to their own opinions and saying, this is the way you should live. No, if we continue in learning in what God has to say and search the scriptures, we will find answers, and we will learn the truth, and we will continue to learn the truth and to be secured and not to be moved by it, by other people. Also in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, for it is better if God should will it to so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for what is doing wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. I'm actually reading the wrong passage. That's why it's not being familiar. Let's try 2 Peter chapter 3, like I said. This is more like it. This is one of the reasons why you need to search the scriptures, just to make sure that the person who's preaching or filling God's word is using the right passage. But it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and the day to come, or the day of eternity. Amen. We need to continue in these teachings. And we understand that with other passages that we are very well familiar, such as Hebrews chapter 5, towards the end, the writer talked to the Hebrew brethren, saying that you should be eating the meat of the word. You shouldn't be on the principles of the basic foundations of the pure milk of the word. We know that in 1 Peter chapter 2, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that when we read from God's word, when we study, we are longing for the pure milk of the word. And that when we grow in maturity, trying to build upon our knowledge, trying to build upon our wisdom, trying to apply all these different things, that we're slowly moving up forward to meet. And when we're running that race, we need to be careful of what we're putting into our bodies. We need to be careful of how we're eating. Because if we are not eating, period, or we're not eating the right substance, you're not going to make it. You're not going to see that goal or that prize. And you're going to be flat on your back saying, how can I continue? It starts by reading. It starts by studying and by eating correctly. But not only do we need to worry about what we're putting in ourselves, but my second point is that we need to do away with other things, as well as applying different aspects from God's word to ourselves. For instance, let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Do this, knowing that the time is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is near to us than when we believe. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as the day, not in carousing drunkenness, not in sexuality and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. How are we going to know, going back to the first point, how are we going to know what we need and what we don't need if we don't first study? So we need to eat. We need to put all this stuff to ourselves. But we also need to put stuff away. Here it says that we need to put away the deeds of darkness. That thought continues to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, that in reverence to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. But let's jump down to also to verse 26. It also says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So we need to be careful that as a Christian, we need to continue living as a Christian and not living the way that we were before. Living the way we were before, freely sinning and freely doing whatever we please, self-desiring our own will. Also, in James chapter 5, we kind of talked about this a few moments ago. And this is one of my personal struggles in life that I'm still trying to overcome as well. James chapter 5 and verse 9, it says that do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And again, we've read that passage before, but the point that I was trying to make is that we need to find the areas in our lives that is holding us back. We need to try to examine ourselves and try to put those things aside. Me, for instance, is complaining. And that's one of my struggles. But also, 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Not only are we to put away our evil desires, our sinful life, but it says in verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of sufferings are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So what we need to do is that we also need to pray to God about it. We need to tell him what we're struggling with. We need to tell him what's on our minds. We need to tell him everything that we can. Because he is there. He wants to help us. And we know that when we pray to God that he does give us the strength. We ourselves still have action to take place. We can't just pray to God as we've been studying and do nothing on our part. The action that I see here is not only to pray to God, but it says to be on your guard. Because we're always going to be tempted. Satan is there waiting for us to stumble. He's waiting for that opportunity. But one of the great things is that we have one another. That we have each other's strengths. That we have each other's weaknesses to the point that says, well, I struggle with this, but I don't with that. This is what I did to overcome this. We can help each other. Because there's nothing new under the sun. As we know through Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new. And that there is not a new tactic that Satan will try to use to try to tempt us. And one of the things that has been mentioned by him is that he will try to use our schedules, our times of our daily basis to use as a means to try to get to us. To try to work when all the stresses and all the pressures come down on us, that we forget God, that we do not make the time to pray to him, that we don't take the time to study from his word, and that we will be spiritually hurt, that we will sin, and that maybe one day that we will lose our faith, that we do not put our trust any further with God. We need to continue in prayer to God as well as trying to apply these lessons and putting away our sinful lives. At Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, we won't go there. However, it also continues saying that you need to pray to God. So our first point was that we need to continue in learning. To continue to eat. Second is to apply good lessons from God's word and putting away sin from our lives. Our third, which we touch with James, is that we have each other. What is going to help me to continue to push that extra mile that each and every day is the encouragement with one another? To hear from someone that says, you can do it. Keep at it. Give it another shot. In Ephesians chapter 4, we've been there before to look at an example, but before verse 22, which we have read earlier, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and have the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We know that with other passages, even with this one, that we make up the body of Christ, not only here locally, but with the universal church, and that we understand that Christ is the head and we are the body. One thing I really liked about this passage in particular is that each of us builds upon one another. And if we all are contributing to one another, we're all supplying one another, we're giving strength to one another. In verse 13 it says, until we all attain the unity of the faith. How much effort does that take for each of us to be able to have a strong foundation with God's word, to be able to teach others, to stand firm when someone has a question, and not to be able to be, as it's mentioned in verse 14, tossed to and fro, that we have confidence with the scriptures. How much effort does it take for all of us to be on the same page? It's going to take a great deal of time, a great deal of effort, but we can get there. We can help each other. And if we have questions or if we have doubts, we can help each other move through that. Just as before, when we do this, we're helping each other push right along to make it to heaven. Because each individual part, verse 16, causes the growth of the body through love. So, how am I going to have the attitude of pushing forward? Well, the first step is to study. You got to eat right. The second is that you need to apply different lessons to your lives. And the third one, between prayer, is to ask for help from the brethren. Ask help from each other. Let us encourage one another, because that is what's going to push us through. Before we conclude, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. We have recently went through this passage, and it says in verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses around us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What is mentioned about the cloud of witnesses is going back to chapter 11, with all the examples of those who were found faithful to God. And it is encouraging us to say, for the author to say here, that you continue to endure, you continue running that race, you put away those things that so entangles us, and you keep going.
do not give up. And another reason why I like this passage is that even if we analyze ourselves and say, we went through a lot, it was nothing that Christ had to go through for us. Everything that we have to put up with each and every day is nothing compared to what he had to do so that we can have the right relationship with God. It is because of him, through his sacrifice, that we're able to be running in this race. Also, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and this will be the last passage. 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but to be glorified in his name. For it is the time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and it begins with us first. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and sinner? Therefore, those who also suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. When we suffer, we need to remember that it is because of Christ. He told us, as well as other men who were inspired through God, saying that you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have to endure. But it's a good thing. It is a good thing. But we need to think that to see that goal, to not only think of short term, think of the long term. It's just another day closer, another opportunity closer before we're going to be before the presence of God, before we are personally going to be judged. But the conclusion in verse 18, if it's a difficult thing for us as Christians to be saved, to be found faithful to God, how much more will it be for those who are godless, those who are not Christians? If you are not a Christian, you do not have another better opportunity than today, because you do not know if we have tomorrow. You do not know how long that race is going to be. It could be many years from now. However, the only thing that we're promised is here and right now. You can start running that race. And we'll rest assured that it won't be easy. It's going to be difficult. But we have each other, and we have God right there if we ask. If we study and keep applying ourselves as a Christian, we'll make it through together. If you are a Christian, you know that you've already been running that race. Maybe it's for many years. Maybe it's been very recent. However, there are times when we give in to temptations. And there are times when we sin. And when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. Now, God is faithful, and he will be there ready to accept us. And he will not turn his back away from us, but we need to do our part, and we need to get our life straightened. As it's mentioned, it is a difficult thing for even Christians to be saved, is it not? It is difficult to keep our faith and our trust each and every day, even when we get smacked in the face by all the elements of the world that may be thrown at us. But we know that we are able to overcome. God will give us a way. We come forward, we'll pray with you and for you, we'll try to continue to be an encouragement. Our one goal is to be with God. But we got to first make that first step. We got to continue running together. We got to continue to encourage one another. If you're suffering from a call, you may come forward as we sing the same.
Almost persuaded now to be. Almost persuaded right to receive.
Church of Christ, I want to thank you for the cards, concern, and prayers that you have shown to me during this time. I do believe that prayers were answered when the last biopsy showed that the lymph nodes were cancer-free. And by God's grace, the next biopsy will show that the lymph nodes around the collarbone are also cancer-free. Again, I sincerely thank you and ask God to bless you in Christian love, Pam Bays. Let's continue to pray for her that good will continue to happen with her.
Before we have our closing prayer, let's turn to page one. And the first verse on it, and have a closing prayer.
Each day I'll do my golden deed, by helping those who are in need. My life on earth,
come here today and worship you and learn more about your word. We're thankful that we got to spend time together here. We're thankful for this day that you've given us. It's a wonderful day. Help us in our day-to-day lives as we depart from here, and help us to live for you and help others, and help those who are sick, help those traveling, that they get where they're going. Bless us all and forgive us our sins. In your Son's holy and righteous name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, Warren. Good job.
Yeah, kind of blue there. How are you?
I wish I could say that.